Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
On everybody, it's time for the Binge Boys podcast. This is episode 249.
Wow,
holy shit!
Yeah, 249. Everybody, I'm joined, of course, by on the screen to my immediate right is Tanner. Can't tell if he's frozen or if he's just really good at being still,
looking like Aaron Rodgers.
I actually think he's frozen.
Think so.
Well, you hate to see it. But that other voice, that's Matt.
You can tell in his glasses, the screen is not moving.
Yeah, true.
Enhance.
That other voice is Matt.
It me.
That boy Matt. Potts McGee. Which
follow me at Potts McGee.
Which why is it called Potts? Why are you called Potts McGee?
One guy in college just started calling me that, and I was like, that's kind of a good handle, so I'm going to go for it.
Love that. So, if everybody, if you're joining us for the first time on the Binge Boys podcast, let me learn you something. Let me tell you a little bit about it. The premise is that each week, my co-host and I break down the hottest in TV and movies. Every Thursday, there's a bonus episode of the show entitled The Run Through. And on those episodes, I'm joined by a co-host who wants to dive into a particular TV series or movie. I say TV series or movie, although we've only done one TV series, and it's been Dexter. But one day we will run through another TV series.
It's going to happen.
It is going to happen. When we do break it down, we break it down element by element and kind of give it an in-depth review or a revisit. First things first, to support us, I need you to go to Instagram and follow us at Binge Boys Pod. I changed the handle to match the Twitter. Ooh. So it's just consistent across the board. Twitter and Instagram at Binge Boys Pod. That's where you get the announcements, top five lists, reviews, and many, many more. Next thing, go to iTunes, make sure you've left that 5-star review, and make sure you're subscribed on iTunes and Spotify as well, but also just make sure you've left that review. Mega tough scene on Tanner's part. The Wi-Fi went down.
Just absolute. Oh.
Tanner?
I think so. It just keeps going on and off.
You hate to see that.
Yeah.
Did you at least get to hear me call, say that you look like Aaron Rodgers?
Right now? Thanks. Yeah. That's not a good thing.
Specifically last week.
Oof. Not a good week for Aaron Rodgers.
I'm just kidding.
No. No. Frozen.
Oh, God.
No.
You hate to see it.
Tough.
Tough scene. We've all been through that. No, you're here. We're just going to pray that things get better for you. We don't want Mitch 2.0 here.
The Mitchening.
The Mitchening. That's funny. Shout out to Mitch. Big shouts to Mitch. Guys, if you're like me, you got 20 different water bottles or koozies or containers in your house, and it's just plain annoying. If you share that frustration with me, let me tell you a little bit about Frost Buddy. Frost Buddy is the world's first universal beverage can and bottle cooler. The Universal 2.0 holds all kinds of bottles and can sizes. The only bottle slash can I've seen it not be able to hold is those weird stubby Modelo bottles that seemingly nobody buys, but somebody buys because they keep making them.
So many. The weird foil on them too. Get out of here. Don't get my Frost Buddy. I don't give an F.
Yeah, no, we don't need that in our Frost Buddy. No longer will your dishwasher be filled with all kinds of cans and tumblers. Just one, the Frost Buddy. You don't even have to really wash it. If you want to wash it every once in a while just to get any dirt or clutter build up off the sides of the inside of the can, you can. But you do not have to. It's simply just a great product that everybody who enjoys a nice cold beverage and doesn't like the constant switching and around and all that whatnot, get a Frost Buddy. Go to frostbuddy.com. Use code Logan Lewis for 10% off that purchase. And get yourself a Frost Buddy. Guys, we got a loaded epi. And I think we should waste no time because we don't want to be here for damn near 2 hours like me and Matt were last week.
Only 90 minutes.
Damn near. After I cut in Tanner's review of the Eternals, it did end up being like an hour and 47 minutes. It was a long episode. And if I'll give you a sneak peek of my opinion, if Disney Plus Day would have knocked our socks off, it might have been a damn near 2 hour episode, but we'll get to that later.
Dude, not a big welcome to Earth guy.
We got a few headlines, nothing major. Just a few fun things to run through. Number one, we got another case, guys. Not a good case. We've got another case of old man doesn't like superhero movies. Over the weekend, when doing some promo for House of Gucci, director Ridley Scott was asked about superhero movies, and he said, quote, the best films are driven by the characters. And we'll come to superheroes after this if you want, because I'll crush it. I'll fucking crush it. They're fucking boring as shit.
That's what he said.
Superhero movie scripts are not any fucking good.
Wow. Well, he can stick these two things right up his ass.
He makes good movies. I would want to see him try. If he's taking this as a personal challenge, bring it on.
I hope he shits the bed, too.
We all win.
That's what I'm saying is... Part of me wonders if this is just a stingy guy that's like, Marvel hasn't asked me, one of the greatest directors of all time, to do a movie yet. Or it could just be another case like, who was it?
Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scorsese that was like, superhero movies are stupid. They're bunches of CGI with no story and... Whatever.
We got Scorsese on the pod. That impression crushed.
I don't even know what Scorsese sounds like.
He sounds like the blowfish from Shark Tale. That's him.
It's very true, Tanner. Thank you for that little tidbit information.
You're welcome.
Also, forgot to mention earlier about the run-through. Episode 250 of The Binge Boys is going to be this Thursday, and it features me and Tanner doing a run-through on the 1989 film Batman.
It's a good one.
So stay tuned for that. But either way, back to Ridley Scott being an asshole. Yeah. He says, let's see here. That's really just it. It's thanks IndieWire for a boring article.
He's saying they're mostly saved by special effects, and that's becoming boring for everyone who works with special effects if you've got the money. So nothing we really haven't heard before. So well set up as another instance of old man gets mad at superhero movies.
Yeah, yeah. Oh well, let him be stingy. They're making a lot of money, and maybe he's just mad that he hasn't been hired to make one yet.
Sure.
But hey, yeah. When the day comes and they do hire him, I hope he crushes it, because Ridley Scott's one of the greatest directors ever. So let's hold out one for that.
Yep.
Today is Xbox's, I think, 30th birthday.
Whoa.
I believe so. I saw 20th, it on
Twitter.
20th, really?
Yeah.
Dang. I thought it was 20th. However, 20 sounds too young for some reason.
Kind of does.
I remember it vividly coming out, so please don't say that. 20th.
All right, cool. So it's their 20th birthday today. And I don't know if it has any relation, but Microsoft's baby, or Xbox's baby, Halo, is getting the series treatment. It's got there's a teaser for it's a very, very short teaser, about 30 seconds, and it basically just shows somebody putting on the Spartan armor. And it's going to be on Paramount Plus in 2022.
Ooh. Okay.
Nice. Long in the works, Halo TV series finally, this is from The Verge, has its very first brief teaser trailer. Okay, cool. Revealed today at Microsoft's 20th anniversary Xbox event, giving the first glimpse of the iconic adaptation to iconic games. It's just a very few close-up shots of Master Chief's armor, with a voice that sounds like Cortana saying, "Hello, Master Chief." Yeah, that's it, really.
All I'm saying is I feel like Xbox is 20 years old, but for about the last 15 years, we've been getting a Halo movie from Peter Jackson. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. This is set to debut on Paramount Plus in 2022. This was first announced all the way back in 2018 as a Showtime series. However, it got shifted when Paramount saw that opportunity and they bought them up. They snatched this up. So it looks like we're going to get it. Assuming, because of the the density and the runtime of this teaser, part of me feels like it's going to be late 2022.
Yep.
If not, maybe a delay to early 2023, just because of, like, if you guys have been working on this for 4 years and all you can show us is somebody suiting up, sounds like you got some work to do.
Got a little bit going left to go.
Is this something you guys are interested in? Are you interested in the Halo show? Where do you stand on that?
I just, from all the other video game movies and TV shows, it's probably not going to be good.
And, like, I don't feel like people are playing Halo for the story, so...
No. Some are.
They're the minority.
Very, very, very true.
To tie back together, they have not seen any of Ridley Scott's great sci-fi movies.
Very true. Transitioning to Marvel.
Yep.
Marvel Studios is reportedly casting. A screenshot was leaked late last night of a casting call for a Daredevil project. The rights to Daredevil were recently reacquired from Netflix to Marvel Studios. And from this tweet from RPK News 1, which is one of those guys that I was talking about last week or the week before that has very credible information about leaks in terms of superhero movies. He is one of those guys. He showed a screenshot of a movie or series called Daredevil, and it says studio, Marvel Studios, staff, writer, current, and producer. So it's showing that they are casting and hiring for this project. And it doesn't specify whether it's a movie or a TV series, but Daredevil is in the works.
Yes.
However, I have heard that, well, let's rewind real quick. Because of the heavy rumors of Charlie Cox being in Spider-Man No Way Home briefly, a lot of people are like, sweet, they're going to just use the same Daredevil. That's not the case. The rumor is that they're going to use Charlie Cox to play Daredevil, but it won't be the same Daredevil that we saw in Netflix.
Oh, my God.
They're just essentially rebooting the character, but making him be played by the same guy.
Can they be more confusing?
That's even stupid. Worse. That's some Arrowverse shit like I was talking about the other week.
Yep. That'd be like them recasting Spider-Man or rebooting Spider-Man and then being like, wait, but we still want the same guy.
Yeah.
No.
But that's the rumor. I'm not sure if it's true. I don't think they should do it because I love a lot of the supporting characters from Netflix's Daredevil too. Like his best friend, I forget the guy's name, but we can all picture him.
Yep.
Buggy Nielsen.
Yeah. So that's the T right now. Interesting. And in a couple weeks we'll find out. Probably about a month's time, actually. A month from today, Spider-Man No Way Home hits theaters in the UK, I should say.
Oh God, why
blimey.
The UK, today they announced that the UK is getting the movie 2 days early on the 15th.
Dude, we're going to get spoiled.
That's why someone just said delete your social media apps. Like, don't even get on them for those 2 days because it's going to get around. But at this point, is there much secrets to be?
Oh, yeah.
How it actually comes together and if it's just all been overblown.
True.
Just very possible, which scares me.
But on that Spider-Man fact, today, actually about 3 or 4 hours ago, Sony/Tom Holland released another Spider-Man poster.
Yeah.
And in case you were wanting something more detailed than the first one, you don't get that.
Roughly in fact, the same.
It looks like there's a lot of jokes on Twitter right now about how this looks like it was done by their intern. Their graphic design intern, because it's the same poster as before. You get the Doc Ock arms. You get the Green Goblin in the back corner. You get Spider-Man in the front. Only real difference is that you kind of see the multiverse behind him with Doctor Strange. In fact, if you're watching on YouTube, show you right now what that looks like with a share screen. This is the new poster for Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah,
it's a little intern-y.
Very much so, Photoshop beginners. Here's my question. What is this around his arm?
That's his armor. That's part of his armor.
No, oh, you see that piece of armor?
That's his greaser? Armor. That's where that's always there.
Oh, it has been?
Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
Okay.
But that little line thing is supposed to represent the thing Doctor Strange was pulling that little string.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I think so.
Well, we'll see. That's the new poster for No Way Home. And speaking of No Way Home, we got confirmation that tomorrow, the day you're listening to this, November 16th, there is going to be a fan event in Los Angeles being hosted by Sony and Marvel to reveal the second second trailer for the movie.
If they're doing an event, it's got to be huge.
Now, here's my thoughts. Why are they having an event?
Exactly.
I'll tell you why. Because Tom, Toby, and Andrew are all going to walk out on stage afterwards. That's exactly what's going to happen. Bro, Probably not.
Even to come out with it. Then imagine all these interviews that like when it gets close to movie times and there's like talk show interviews all the time.
Yeah.
Imagine all three of them just sitting up there just talking about Spider-Man.
Yeah. That'd be pretty tight.
But it's going to be tight because it's going to happen.
You're right.
The manifesting episode of Binge Boys.
Yeah, absolutely. However, kind of bummy for everybody, considering that this is operating on LA time, we won't get this trailer until about 8 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow.
That's past my bedtime.
So we'll just have to figure it out from there. But for the most part, we'll watch this trailer tomorrow night and probably end up freaking out about it. So
a live reaction, Logan.
You're gonna be at work.
No, I won't.
I'm not waiting 2 hours for you to get off.
No, I won't be at work.
You just said earlier. You said you worked till like 9:45.
No, I work 5 to noon or midnight. Noon. What the fuck am I talking about?
Oh, 5 a.m. to noon? Oh, okay. Then come over and we'll do a live reaction.
Yes.
Come through, King.
And it'll be right after my daddy's birthday.
Come through, King. Oh, wait.
Huh.
Tomorrow, actually, is the 2-year anniversary of my first date with Catherine.
Wow.
So we are going to the restaurant that started it all.
And it's my dad's birthday.
And we also planned on going to your parents' house to say hi to your dad for his birthday. But don't tell him, because he'd be very surprised and very happy, probably.
Probably. Nah, he's going to hate it.
It's messed up. He's going
to tell us to go away.
He's gonna be like, what are you doing here?
That might be true. That might be true. But like we hinted at earlier, everybody, those are the headlines. And now we can talk about Disney Plus Day.
Ugh. What is there to talk about?
I'll tell you, Tanner, because Disney Plus Day, there was a lot of confusion, and I was roped into this confusion online myself. So, well, this is what Disney does. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
This is what Disney does. They have D23 that they've been doing for a few years now, which is basically like their Comic-Con. They have a lot of fans in attendance. They have actors and producers and directors and Kevin Feige and LucasArts and all of the people there. And they talk about Disney projects that are coming soon. Then they have Disney Plus Day, which this is the second version of.
Yes.
Last year they had Disney Plus Day also, where they just go on their social media and tweet/post new things that are coming. There's no live stream event. It's literally just someone behind Disney's Twitter account that just hits send. That's it. And then there's Disney Investor Day. That's what we were all expecting. Disney Investor Day, or at least it's what I was expecting. That's where my expectations were, of there being a live stream, of there being a presentation, and several trailers being shown.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my expectations were, and that's why my expectations were defeated.
You didn't like the meme of Wolverine?
Actually, I quite enjoyed that. That was really funny. But essentially,
that was the best part. Yeah.
Disney, yeah, really. Disney basically just tweeted out and announced a bunch of shit, and I'm going to run through them kind of quickly here, because we'll be here forever if we spend 5 minutes on each one. Are you ready, Tanner?
Yep.
Number one, the very first thing they announced, they decided the show opener was going to be the announcement of Ice Age, The Adventures of Buck Wild, an all-new movie streaming on Disney Plus on the 28th of January.
Dude, Ray Romano just needed that check.
Dude, that's exactly what's going on here. Second thing, this was actually kind of surprising and kind of cool. Baymax, an original series about Baymax from Big Hero 6, is coming to Disney Plus summer 2022.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm into it as well. Have you seen Big Hero 6, Tanner?
Yeah.
It's a good one. Good.
It is a good movie. Pretty heartfelt.
Next up, Disney is announcing that hopefully better than Home Alone, they're rebooting Cheaper by the Dozen with a blended family played by Zach Braff and, I don't have her tagged for some reason.
Dwayne Wade's wife.
Yeah, yeah. Do a quick fact check.
Gabrielle Union.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And they're both pretty funny, so I'm intrigued.
Yeah, no, she's great.
Yeah, she is. Next up, Amy Adams and Patrick Dempsey posted a little video and said, hey, you love our movie Enchanted. It's now available on Disney Plus. And then, yeah.
Disenchanted.
Yes. Ooh. Disenchanted.
That's a great sequel name. I love
it. The sequel for Enchanted is Disenchanted, and it drops next year on Disney Plus as well.
Let's go.
I'm going to stop saying drops on Disney Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
You get it.
Because everything here is dropping on Disney Plus. Next up, the author, Jeff Kinney, of Diary of a Wimpy Kid took the stage and said, hey, we know that some company out there made crappy live-action versions of Diary of a Wimpy Kid movies a few years ago. I think they were Nickelodeon movies, actually.
They have that sort of a smell to them, if not directly.
So they released a poster for Diary of a Wimpy Kid, the animated movie, coming in a few weeks, December 3rd, Disney Plus. So catch me checking that out. I don't know about you guys, but I really enjoyed those books when I was growing up.
Loved them.
I did not crack a single page of those books.
Really? They're pretty entertaining. They're easy reads.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're probably reading better books and more intelligent books than I was.
Yeah, dude. I was just crushing Kafka when I was seven.
And then they are so confident in their Diary of a Wimpy Kid movie, then they're already making the sequel, Roderick Rules, due out next year.
Okay. Well, you all know what it probably is. They probably saw Stranger Things, who keeps waiting to film, and the kids just like are aging at a dangerous rate, aka a normal rate for children.
Right.
And it's like, well, he has to be wimpy. He can't be wimpy with a full beard.
So, they're getting hard to work at those. Next, which I think is kind of interesting, they announced The Beatles Get Back, which is a three-part documentary series directed by Peter Jackson, who you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And it begins November 25th on Disney Plus.
Okay.
The footage looks remarkable for the fact that it was probably captured in the 60s or the 70s for the trailer they released. So that's really cool. Also, along with the new releases that they announced, the following things notably hit Disney Plus on Disney Plus Day. We got Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. We got The World According to Jeff Goldblum Season 2. We got Home Sweet Home Alone. Olaf Presents, which is a small short film, I think. We got Intertwined, which is a series. We got Assembled, The Making of Shang-Chi, which I actually watched and was very entertaining.
Really? Okay.
In fact, the best Assembled that there is, I think.
Wow, even better than the WandaVision?
Yes.
Mm.
Very good. I would actually recommend watching this one.
Cool.
Okay.
Then we got the Marvel Studios Legends, the kind of prequel thing, the kind of like previously in Marvel. But they did this one for Hawkeye, just so you can see kind of Hawkeye's journey up until this point, because starting next week or 2 weeks from now, he's getting his own series.
Did it show when Jeremy Renner was on Hot Ones this past week?
No, but I did watch that. and then just two, which I'll kind of get to, but Pixar and Marvel really didn't get much time to shine during Disney Plus Day on social media. So they released a 15-minute excerpt for both companies that just says, hey, this is what's coming. And they put that on Disney Plus. So check those out. Meanwhile, Star Wars didn't get any airtime except for something we'll talk about in a little later.
Yeah, I can only think of one thing.
Yep. Next up, Andy Samberg and John Mulaney took the stage, and they said that they're going to be Chip and Dale next year, which I'm game for.
Yeah, I'm big down for that.
Due out in 2022. Next up, they revealed a movie title and not really much information on a movie called Better Nate Than Ever. Not sure what that's about unless you've got more information on that, Matt. If you don't, that wasn't a trick question.
No, I do not.
Okay, good. Next up, this is a pretty big announcement. Pinocchio live action is going to star Tom Hanks as Geppetto, which That's damn near perfect. Cynthia Erivo, Luke Evans, and the voices of Benjamin Ainsworth, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Keegan-Michael Key, and more. And it's due out on Disney Plus exclusively, I think. I don't, doesn't say theatrically, fall 2022. Interesting.
Straight to streaming for one of a live action remake.
Oh no.
First one.
Ooh. Good point. Then we get a couple National Geographic announcements, the first of which being Limitless with Chris Hemsworth, which that looks pretty good.
Should be Bradley Cooper, but okay.
Yeah, I know, right? I thought the same thing. Streaming in 2022. It's like a basically just like an adrenaline junkie series where Chris Hemsworth does a bunch of badass shit, kind of pushing his limits. Then I'm trash. Then they gave us a trailer for Welcome to Earth, another series that is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
With Will Smith, but this one comes out in a few weeks on December 8th.
You guys don't like me saying this. I took flack for it before. I don't like Will Smith, modern social media Will Smith. He doesn't need to do that. He's an elder statesman of Hollywood at this point.
Yep. Why is he out here doing National Geographic documentary series? We don't need you to do that, Will Smith.
No.
Then I tweeted out that we're going into a dentist appointment, but the tweets will continue afterwards.
How'd that dentist appointment go?
I got a crown put in right here.
Dang.
Howie.
King shit.
King shit, I guess. Take care of your teeth, kids. No, it was something that was out of my control. A tooth cracked or something, and they had to repair it.
Yep.
But nonetheless, 2 hours in the dental chair is not something I recommend. Then we got a modern take on a classic called Sneakerella, which is, I think, a dance movie of some kind. Streaming on February 18th. That's probably going to be bad, and we won't cover.
Thank you.
Then we got a cool trailer for The Proud Family coming back. The original series coming February 2022, which is cool because a lot of people dug that cartoon from back in the day. I sure as hell remember it.
Kiki Palmer, are you kidding me? Yeah, of course I did.
Right? Then we got a trailer for Sneakerella. Weird. They released the poster. Then they showed us another trailer. And then they came back and like, oh, yeah, we got a trailer for Sneakerella. Which, again, I just, no.
Sure.
Then another National Geographic series called America the Beautiful.
What? Who's that one with?
I don't think it's with anybody. I think Disney kind of doing drone shots of like landscapes and shit.
Peak pandemic filming opportunities. Yeah,
absolutely. Then they announced a couple things, like season 3 of the High School Musical, the musical, the series, which is just an awful title. Coming in 2022. Then they announced the live-action original series Spiderwick Chronicles, based off of the hit book series from like the 2000s.
They made a movie of it in 2008. So
they sure did. With that movie at the time. The movie was tight.
Dude, looking at the art on these books, how did I miss these? These are right up my alley. These look
I know, right? This is total Matt kind of shit.
It's like Harry Potter X series of unfortunate events. I fumbled that bag.
You did fumble that. But you know who won't be fumbling anything because they don't have hands? Because they have wheels. Cars. rev your engines, everybody. Owen Wilson and Larry the Cable Guy are returning to voice Lightning McQueen and Mater in the Disney Plus series Cars on the Road, streaming on 2022, which is basically just a road trip story that McQueen and Mater take.
So wait, that's pretty much them running everywhere. That sounds horrible.
Can This isn't great content, but do you know, have you seen that meme where it's like that they show like the Pope and I think it's like Cars 2? It's like, wait, so this implies that there was a car Jesus who was put on a cross.
That's great content. What do you mean?
I don't have the meme handy.
That's okay.
You're a verbal meme right now.
That's okay. That's okay. So then Pixar had a little time to shine and they showed that they have a series coming in fall of 2023, which is quite a minute away, but it's called Win or Lose and it's about a baseball team. And each episode is going to focus on a different member of the team and how they are contributing to the greater efforts. This is Pixar's first series.
Interesting. The win or loss.
It might be.
Yeah, I think that's got potential. I trust Pixar to do a good like intertwined story quite well.
Yeah. I think they'll probably do really well. Well, I guess actually Cars is going to be their first series because it comes out first next year, but whatever. Then one of the only pieces of Star Wars stuff we got is that Star Wars or Disney announced Under the Helmet, The Legacy of Boba Fett, which is a quick 20-minute documentary. I watched it the other day, just of Boba Fett, just kind of, I guess, getting people hyped up for the Book of Boba Fett show.
You don't have to do a full review, obviously, but can you answer a quick question? Does it basically exist for people that are really into Star Wars to like show people who don't understand why Boba Fett's cool? Because if they watch the original movies, he has like two lines.
They make a joke. They make a joke about how like the man has like six lines of dialogue in the entire series, yet he's one of the most talked about characters of all time. And so they're like, I think it shows like the guy who designed him and he was just like, here we are 30 years later and we're still talking about Boba Fett. I would have never thought that's the case, but that's happening and it's worth watching. It's really cool to see how they like design the costume and how they originally intended Boba Fett to be like an army of Boba Fetts, but they ran out of money. So they're like, fuck, I guess we'll just have one. They fucking mashed that costume button and apparently not hard enough because they ran out of money, but then Disney announced Zootopia Plus, which is another streaming service based off of Zootopia. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my god,
the ZCU.
The ZCU, which it actually is called Zootopia Plus, but it's just short form, basically like Pixar shorts but for Zootopia.
Oh, okay.
Which nobody needed. This is just Disney at this point. It's just Disney taking advantage of the assets they have.
Yep. It's like we sculpted all these like digital things. Let's move them around and make some money off it.
Exactly. Then we got a piece of concept art from Tiana, which is a long form musical series that it's coming to Disney Plus in 2023 following the princess from The Princess and the Frog.
Shout.
So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got the meme that Matt talked about earlier of Wolverine laying in bed that says X-Men from the 1997 show is getting new episodes and they're keeping the same animation style.
Which, you know, that's all well and good, but are they keeping the same theme song? Because that thing was a slapper.
They better be.
Do you know the song?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tanner, you weren't even born in 97. What are you talking about?
He said slapper.
It was the theme song to end all theme songs, let me tell
really
you.
Really good. Yep.
Somebody then Marvel, quote unquote, took the stage and announced to us Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, and Moon Knight are coming, which we already knew. They didn't give us dates or trailers for any of them.
I like the logo though.
Logos are all tight. Then they formally announced that the second season of What If is coming. Also, keep in mind here, None of these shows they announced got release dates or time frames.
What the hell is
just
the point?
On their way, which again.
Yep, they all just say Marvel Studios Echo is coming soon. And Echo is a character that we're going to be introduced to in Hawkeye. So they're already confident enough about Hawkeye that one of the side characters is getting a spinoff show. Then they announced Spider-Man Freshman Year, which is an animated series that's set in the MCU that basically just tells the tale about how Tom Holland's Spider-Man went through his origin story.
But it probably won't be voiced by Tom Holland because it's animated.
Probably. Then, again, another show we knew was coming, I Am Groot, an animated original short form series, is coming to Disney Plus. Again, no date. Another show we knew was coming, Ironheart, no date. A show we've heard rumors of, but hadn't got official confirmation until the other day, Agatha House of Harkness is coming to Disney Plus.
Let's go.
Another thing we heard rumors about but weren't sure, Marvel Zombies, an animated series, is coming.
I thought that shit was going to be live action.
Huh?
I thought the zombies was going to be live action for some
That's
reason.
What the rumor said, my friend.
What's that?
Then Marvel Studios Secret Invasion, another series we knew was coming, with no release window or date or anything. And for the most part, that's it. We did get a small featurette of Obi-Wan that basically just showed interviews with Obi-Wan and showed scenes of him like practicing fighting with some concept art, and that's it, man. That's all we got for
now. We know he fights in the show.
We got no Marvel, Star Wars, or Pixar footage at Disney Plus Day, which a lot of people are upset about. At this point, I'm over it.
Yeah.
Too many damn events. Yeah, I wish they would have just given us something for the. Like, at least giving us windows for those shows. Like, we all know Moon Knight, She-Hulk, and Miss Marvel are coming next year, but when? I don't know. We'll find out later.
Quickly for those three. Or for the first one, or for one of them, it's going to be pretty quickly at least.
I want it to probably drop like March. I don't know. They're not listening to me.
Us. We all have a microphone.
True.
Can I go back a little bit and talk Echo for a second? Because I just have to look it up. So I didn't recognize the name of the actress playing it, Alakwa Cox. She is Native American, deaf, and has a prosthetic leg.
The character or the actress?
The character is Native American and deaf. The actress, additionally, has a prosthetic leg.
Wow. She's just doing it.
Yeah.
She's just thriving.
So, and she's a supporting character of Daredevil per her Wikipedia page. So perhaps an unnamed Daredevil project that is receiving some casting.
Ooh, good connection there. A lot of rumors also that we'll see what's his name. Vincent D'Onofrio was Kingpin from the Daredevil show in the Hawkeye show. So, Hawkeye takes primarily in New York. So maybe we'll get some Daredevil sneak peeks in Hawkeye.
Echo also has taken up the mantle of Ronin, who that's what Hawkeye was doing in Endgame, basically. Yeah. Right? Okay. Is he officially called that, or was that just like we all knew that?
I think we all knew that. I mean, he might have been called that. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yes, Clint Barton incarnation of Ronin appears in the Marvel Cinematic Universe film Avengers Endgame.
Good deal.
Yep.
That was pretty much Disney Plus Day, folks. Disney Plus Day 2021 is a wrap. I think Disney Investor Day is either late December or early January, kind of showing what's coming off the new year. So maybe we'll get more announcements then, but as of right now, that's what we got.
Yep, it was phenomenal last year, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, same here.
Excited.
Okay, time for the big togs. I didn't even mean to do that. But I'll start there. Over the weekend, I caught a showing. And by that, I mean, in my living room, I watched Clifford the Big Red Dog, which released in theaters and on Paramount Plus. It is rated PG. It sits at around an hour and 35 minutes.
I didn't know.
What a heaping pile of shit.
How does it compare to Tom and Jerry?
Tom and Jerry is eons worse than this movie.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Still, I don't think anything comes close to my disappointment in Tom and Jerry's movie.
Well, first off, for Clifford, what are you giving it?
A 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
I think I gave it a 2. Honestly, I might give it a 2.5, 3 because of my score from Home Alone. And this movie was way better than Home Alone.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Dude, I didn't know it came out on Paramount Plus. I would have watched it.
Oh, well, yeah, totally.
I was going to hate it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know. We would have been laughing at it the entire time like we did for Paranormal Activity. But
oh my God, that's hilarious.
For those of you who lived under a rock and don't know what Clifford the Big Red Dog is, this movie is about a young girl's love for a tiny puppy named Clifford makes the dog grow to an enormous size. And the adventure continues off of that. So I'll be frank here. I don't need to spend a lot of time on this. But Clifford is not a horrible movie. If we were going letter grades, wink, wink, I would have given this movie a solid C minus.
Okay.
Not horrible, but also not great.
Yeah. So kind of in that 2.5, like a high 2.5.
Right. You know, right. Yeah. So first off, the acting. Sure, it wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible. Also, like everything I'm going to tell you in this movie wasn't horrible, but it also wasn't great. Just kind of mid. This movie was just very mid. its budget was $22 million, and opening weekend, it did about $16.5 million. It actually made more money this weekend than Eternals did this weekend. For Eternals being out, this is Eternals' second week in theaters.
I'm just upset right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Right off the bat, I will tell you that the CGI for Clifford was not great, but it wasn't great, oddly enough, when he was a small puppy.
Really?
When he was quite large, the CGI was actually pretty good.
Well, if you think about it, like small, all the details and stuff have to be a lot more like precise. But if he's big, you can kind of like.
There were several shots of him up close. And when he was up close, he almost looked like he had no neck. Like it was just like a face attached to it like that. And it was really odd. And like, I had written down in my phone, like early on in the movie, I was like, oh my God, the small Clifford CGI is horrible. I can't wait to see how bad the big Clifford CGI is. But actually, it was quite good.
Did it make you think of the Master of Disguise, the early 2000s classic movie when he's in the Turtle Club?
No, but
you
that's
talk
great.
No neck. What are we running through the Master of Disguise?
Soon. Tony Hale plays the villain in this movie, which if you know who Tony Hale is, I think that's his name.
Yeah.
Tony Hale. Yeah, he's the awkward guy from Arrested Development. He did a great job. This movie's plot was actually more interesting than I thought it was going to be. Essentially, Tony Hale is this billionaire that runs a company that is determined to figure out like genetic mutation in animals so that they can use the animal's blood to like cure human diseases or something. A pretty complex plot for a kid's movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So his motives about capturing Clifford were like decent to me. I was like, okay, like he's just a mwahaha villain. And it was very cheesy, but he wasn't I wasn't like going, oh my God, this villain is so trash.
Yeah.
It actually wasn't bad, man. It just, I also just went in with very low expectations and was decently surprised. Again, I'm never going to watch this movie. I wouldn't even recommend that you watch it. I would just say that if it's on, give it a few minutes.
Yeah.
Also, Kenan Thompson's in this movie. What are you doing, man? He plays the doctor, and he has the best line in the entire movie. They take Clifford to the vet right after he emerges big, mm-hmm. and somehow they get him in the building, and he's sitting in the doggy room, and the doctor, Kenan Thompson, walks in. You guys know who Kenan Thompson is, right?
Yeah.
I do. That was a Kenan and Kel reference for the kids out there.
What's up with that? What's up with that? He takes out the thermometer and he's like, time to take its temperature. And he like gives it to the owner of Clifford and he's like, why are you giving me this? And he's like, because I want you to take the temperature because my hand ain't going anywhere near that dog's at. And then the camera cuts. And that was the funniest line in the entire movie.
That's good. That's nice.
But that's it, man. That's Clifford the Big Red Dog. If it's on Paramount Plus, it is on their Paramount Plus. So if you've got kids and you're listening to this and you need to entertain the kids for an afternoon, throw it on. It's going to capture their attention. It's a cute ass dog.
Sure.
Any questions, Tanner, about Clifford the Big Red Dog?
Nah.
Other than why did I watch it?
Why?
If it wasn't in Paramount Plus and only in theaters, I would have not watched this movie.
Nah.
I can't justify it. Going to the movies, buying snacks, sitting in a theater for an hour and a half, plus 30 minutes of previews.
For Clifford the Big Red Dog.
This whole time, that's what I thought you did.
No, absolutely not, bro. Absolutely not.
Dude, if you went, you would have had to take Catherine with you. You cannot go to that movie alone.
Yeah.
Dude, you'd look like a predator.
True. Next up, Tanner.
All right.
Take the reins with me, and we'll talk about Home Sweet Home Alone. For those of you who don't know, this is the Home Alone reboot on Disney Plus. Reboot/sequel. It's hard to say. And this is the plot. Are you ready?
It's so stupid.
A married couple tries to steal back a valuable heirloom from a troublesome kid. That's it.
Okay.
That's a horrible synopsis. No, this movie stars.
oh God!
What a day. This movie stars Ellie Kemper, Rob Delaney, Archie Yates, and Timothy Simmons. Also, Kenan Thompson.
He played the real little. He was funny.
I forgot that Kenan Thompson was in this movie too, bro.
I laughed out loud when he was in it. That was funny.
I was like, twice in one weekend? Come on, man.
Both shit movies.
He's got to get that bag.
Kenan Thompson, hey, he's trying to break away from being on SNL every week. He's trying to get that film career started out.
He's not.
Oh, and you want to tie it as well? Rob Delaney, also in Tom and Jerry.
Oh, God, really? Oh,
it makes sense now.
And Timothy Simmons in the show Veep.
Did the yes.
No connection. No connection. But he was in Veep. And the whole time I was watching this movie, I was like, where is that guy from? But Veep. And now he's got this really, really unattractive, huge mustache that's actually kind of badass now that I look at a picture of him. But whatever. Home Sweet Home Alone. Tanner, I will let you go first. Wait, before you go. What does the original Home Alone series mean to you?
It means Christmas time. Plus, I love them. I've watched them hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Well, not really the second and third ones, but like the first one for sure, obviously. But
sure.
Mm-hmm. So this movie, the plot, I gave it a 3 out of 5 due to my only because of my enjoyment, right? I kind of enjoyed it. It was kind of funny here and there. But the plot if you really look into it, it's so stupid. It's the stupidest plot on the planet. I mean, they make a good callback, though, to the whole – and then the whole – oh, yeah. Okay, wait. Listen. This is so stupid. The whole reason the cops don't go check on the kid is because the cop is – what's his name? Buzz McAllister. And he goes, nope, nope. It's a prank call. It's my brother calling to, you know, as a joke. Like, hey, someone got let, you know, because they did that twice to him.
Yeah.
And that's the whole reason the cops don't show up the rest of the movie.
Very stupid.
Yeah.
It comes over the radio and they're like, yeah, we got a kid home alone. And he's like, nope. My brother Kevin calls me every year around this time. It's a total prank call. Just ignore it.
That was kind of funny, though, that he does that. But all I could think of was nasty looking Macaulay Culkin calling on the. Oh, no. Am I frozen? Oh, no. Matt's frozen. Oh, God.
No, Matt's not frozen.
I got so scared. Okay.
What?
I just shit my pants. I was like, God damn it. But I lost my train of thought. I thought I was frozen.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was just.
Buzz.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the whole reason the cops don't show up. And Logan, I don't know about you, but the entire time, the whole final act, what the hell were they even bothering for?
I honestly don't remember the final act of this movie.
They were just getting the living shit kicked out of them.
Dude, okay. Say what you want about the severity of the things that Macaulay Culkin's Kevin did to the robbers. Yeah. Bro, the things that this kid was doing to these two was brutal, bro.
We shot him with one of the potato guns and they were pool balls.
Yeah, that was in the trailer. That's why I said, I don't know about this.
Dude, this guy was shooting and it just made it uncomfortable because for the rest of the movie, that character had this welt the size of a pool ball on his forehead. Oh, and I was like, I can't look at him. That's disgusting.
Yeah. He started the woman's feet on fire.
Yeah, he lit her feet on fire.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And he was getting chased outside, so he has like this – I don't know how he did it, but he breaks all of the ice, like shard things.
Yeah,
the
icicles.
Yeah, thank you. What the hell? I could not think of the word. Icicles. Breaks them so that they go to fall on him. Like, that guy's dead. If he gets hit by one, it's over.
Yeah.
It's the perfect murder. But
it's not the ice bullet.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
And like, I get that they needed this heirloom. They needed this heirloom to save their house because it was worth so much money. But you know, dad got laid off and mama's a teacher, so it didn't really work out too well.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time they're just trying to go after this doll because they think he stole it. And by the way, at the end, he didn't steal it. It's been in the house the whole time. Sure. So yeah, the whole movie was completely pointless. Anyways, Logan. I'm too generous. 3 out of 5. I might have to bump her down.
That was not a 3 out of 5. No, it wasn't. Tear down of it.
I'm realizing that. I got to bump it down.
Yeah, it was definitely a 2 out of 5. Within 15 minutes of this movie starting, I was like, Catherine, I want to turn this off so bad, but I need to give it a chance. I need to give it a fair shot.
That's
but it just blatantly tried so hard, like. Dude, Matt, it's a literal carbon copy of the first movie.
Really?
Oh, my God.
It's quite literally. Like, there's even some lines that they took from the first movie and twisted. And it's noticeably like, what lazy writing, bro. They like just. Yeah. They essentially copied the first script, pasted it here, and changed some characters and scenes and motives around. Like, they really want you to empathize with the villains of the movie.
That's weird.
Which is
they
very
really
strange.
Want because like he said, she's a teacher. He got laid off of his job. They don't have enough money to give their kid a good Christmas. They're going to get evicted from their house. But if they get this heirloom, they'll be saved because they could sell it on eBay for $500,000.
Literally. That like doesn't work. That just makes me think like, damn, our society is so fucked up that this is their option. Not like, man, I want these just evil people to get it.
Exactly. So it's just not great.
Home Alone does not need complex villains. What the hell?
No, it doesn't. And the biggest problem with those villains, bro, is no offense to her, but Ellie Kemper, bro, she's just not a good actress.
No.
And she was the most cheesy possible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, thinking about everything else he does, he always goes big, so that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Rob Delaney was fine. I thought he was funny as Jeff, the other break-in guy. He was good. Archie Yates, the kid who played the new Kevin McAllister. Not Kevin McAllister, the new kid, Max Mercer. He just annoyed the shit out of me. Yeah. He wasn't like the part of the reason I think we all love Home Alone so much is just Macaulay Culkin's like innocence and like,
yeah,
just that whole like the fact that this kid like is soft spoken, he's a smart ass. This kid is a smart ass, but he's a douchebag.
Totally, dude. Like, yeah.
Like, this kid is spoiled, rotten, rich family, has it all. And, dude, Matt, the way that they leave him home alone is arguably just... God. So, he gets into a fight with his mom, and he's like, I'm going to go get some alone time. And he goes into the garage, gets into the car, and falls asleep.
Watching, and by the way, how is the TV playing in the car? The car's not started. There's not even a key in the ignition, from what I know. And why are the keys in the ignition in the car with the door shut? This kid's gonna die.
Dude, maybe he was dead the whole time.
Dude. Fan theory. Oh god, that's fucked.
I've been on Reddit r/fan theories, and basically all of them are that they were dead the whole time, and the characters represent deadly sins. That's all, literally all of them. Anyway.
Oh wow. yeah, man, just not a great situation here for the Home Alone reboot. It honestly makes me scared for Cheaper by the Dozen.
Really?
Yeah, it was that bad.
I mean, like, no offense to Ellie Kemper, Rob Delaney, Keaton Thompson, Buzz. But yeah. I feel like there's some better names, at least initially, with Cheaper by the Dozen.
I think you're right.
Like, I also don't think that movie's at the same level that like Home Alone is. Like Tanner was saying, Home Alone is like, it's a classic. It's just very like well made, and it's just very evocative like of Christmas. But Cheaper by the Dozen was just kind of a good movie that had like a lot of child stars I recognized at the time.
Yeah, I definitely think you're right.
I wish they would have like showed the Wet Bandits in prison or something. Like Joe Pesci's character, just made Joe Pesci make a little cameo for like a minute or something.
That would have
like
been funny.
Hey, like, but his mom.
She's a good looking woman for being a mother of 12 kids.
Yeah, two. Actually.
She's played by the woman who's in
Living with Yourself.
She's nothing she's in things. She's just in nothing that living. She is with Living with Yourself, that Paul Rudd show that came out like last year, 2 years ago, that was on Netflix. Yep. She's a good looking actress, but I don't know how she's Aisling Bay. Hopefully it's Bay.
She's Bay.
She needs to be Bay. She's from Ireland. Fun fact. But either way, Home Sweet Home Alone, man, just a bad movie. Not great. I gave it a 2 out of 5 because by the end of the movie, I did kind of get roped in, and I really liked the things he was doing to the Ellie Kemper and Rob Delaney. Like the violence was hilarious.
Shot him with Nerf guns with tacks in them.
He shot these guys with Stuart. Dude, I forgot about that. At that point, I was like, this kid is fucked up.
Yeah, he needs to stop watching TV.
The only bad one from the original Home Alone that I can't watch is the nail through the foot and the iron to the face. Again.
Yep,
but not can't.
Those are like two, and I, you know, just name them. Whereas, like, I feel like you guys are like forgetting about some of these because they're so brutal.
That's true. That's true. I forgot about the nail through the foot because they show the foot going through the nail.
The part where he's typing in the security code and there's a nail in the two, like where he needs to, and it goes right in. He goes, yay! He was pretty funny. Keenan Thompson's role was funny at the beginning.
I honestly forgot who Keenan Thompson was.
He was a realtor.
Oh God, what a stupid role.
Bro, but it was funny because Jeff was just like being a jackass at the beginning. He was like, he's like, yeah, the schools are awesome. They just installed metal detectors. And then he's like, what are you doing, Jeff? I thought it was pretty funny. It was typical Kenan Thompson.
Just Kenan Thompson doing Kenan Thompson things.
Yep.
What a big weekend for Kenan Thompson.
Dude.
Not really.
And he was on SNL.
Yeah. What a big weekend for that guy. But either way, Home Sweet Home Alone, it's on Disney Plus. I don't even think it's in theaters. I think it was just a straight to Disney Plus situation.
Okay.
And that's Home Sweet Home Alone. And now for the final review of the day. The big release that came out over the weekend, Red Notice. Let me give you some information. It was around an hour and 55 minutes long, just under 2 hours. It stars Gal Gadot, Ryan Reynolds, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. This movie is about Red Notice, which is apparently the highest level of a warrant to hunt and capture the world's most dangerous criminals. FBI's top profiler, John Hartley, played by Dwayne Johnson, is on the case. His global pursuit finds him right smack dab in the middle of a daring heist where he's forced to partner with Ryan Reynolds, who plays Nolan Booth, to catch the world's most wanted art thief, the Bishop, played by Gal Gadot. The high-flying adventure that ensues takes the trio around the world, across the dance floor, in a prison, into the jungle, and worst of all, in each other's company. Matt, I want you to go first.
Yes.
So, as you have likely heard, the opposite of love isn't hate. It is indifference. This movie was simply visuals and noise to me. I just did not care about anything that was happening. The Rock didn't want to be there. He put maybe half of emotion into one single line. Ryan Reynolds was doing the Deadpool thing and it just wasn't clicking, mainly because it felt like him and The Rock weren't even in the same room. They just had zero chemistry to me at all. Gal Gadot is, you know, fine, but you know, only she could do so much. So that's really my big thing. I have a big long extended metaphor I can go into now if you want, but I'll wait and let you guys talk before I do that. So y'all both gave it a 4 out of 5, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would have gotten 5.
Wow.
But there was a few things that just got me. Number one, and I hope you two caught this. The bull ring, that was like when they climbed out of the prison and ended up in the ring with the bull, that was painfully fake.
Oh, that's another thing.
Yes.
Even though this movie took place all over the world, it was definitely just in one single studio. The CG was bad.
Yeah. Big, bad CGI.
Bad.
Most noticeably to me in the bull scene, the bull was so fake looking, and the green screen that they were in front of, bro. Yep. It was like, it looked like they were filming it at like the agency I used to work at. Like, bro, like I looked at Catherine and I was like, that took me completely out of the movie. I was like, oh my fucking God, bro. Like, and I don't want to shit on her and him, but Gal Gadot isn't the greatest actress in the world. She's just, honestly, she's just really attractive. I'm not saying that's all she's good for, but like...
Yeah, she has all those like physical skills. Like, I feel like she did most of her own stunts, at least in that fight scene with the three of them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there is a few moments where I was like, wow, she did something badass. Because she did some awesome stuff, like some high kicks and some... Like when she like... broke the glass and the spear fell and she like kicked it up to herself. I was like, that was tight.
Yeah.
That was funny when Ryan Reynolds tried to do it too.
and here's the thing, dude, the other reason I didn't give it a 5 is because I'm sick of Ryan Reynolds.
What?
I hate to say it, but Ryan Reynolds is only ever for the rest of his career going to get hired to to do the Ryan Reynolds thing.
The Deadpool thing, yep. Most specifically.
The guy that's like, oh, wow, you didn't notice I was standing here. Must be because you're a fucking something, something, something. Like, shut up. Just shut up.
Pop culture reference, pop culture reference, pop culture reference.
Yeah, like the pop culture references were so in your face that it was like, is this even a fucking movie?
Yeah.
Like, or is it just Ryan Reynolds just doing Ryan Reynolds things?
I agree with that. A lot of things didn't hit when he was talking. A lot of the jokes that I would normally laugh at didn't really hit too well.
Just
no.
Yeah.
There was one joke. I wish I remember what it was, but I did laugh out loud for a minute on.
Was it the uncooked pork one? I laughed at that one.
That might have been it. Yeah. But
I also, well, it wasn't a joke, but I did laugh out loud when he poured himself a nice stiff glass of Ryan Reynolds owned Aviator gin.
He did?
And then it panned across to The Rock sipping on some Dwayne Johnson owned Terramana tequila.
I saw a tweet that said, like, wow, two in-house liquor brands promoted within the first 10 minutes of the movie. This is going to be a rock show.
Yeah. When you said bull ring, I thought you were talking about like there was a time when, because The Rock has like that bull symbol that he uses a lot. If he had a ring on it, like when he was like grasping onto something, I was like, I didn't notice that product placement, but
Oh man. But other than those few things, I had fun watching it. I don't know what it was because I had heard some chatter about it being bad too. I don't know. I just enjoyed myself. Besides Ryan, man, the Ryan Reynolds thing would even be enough to bump it down to a 3.5 because I'm just so sick of him, bro. That's why I hated Free Guy for the 20 yeah. minutes I was in the theater, because Ryan Reynolds is just like, oh, that's funny. Maybe I should go talk to my friend about redoing the last season of Game of Thrones. Like, it's shit like that that I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, yeah. You're taking me out of the movie. And The Rock, like you said, he probably showed up, did 3 days of shooting, and peaced out. And he's on Instagram like, the biggest movie of all time, Red Notice, is the shit.
Well, his production company did it, $7.
Yeah. I just don't see. I also find it hard to believe that this is the most money Netflix has ever spent on a movie, probably because half of it was just salaries.
I guess, yeah. Like, I don't know what else would cost much, unless boom operator Brian is really taking down a bunch of checks.
Yeah, I just also hated. Man, I might go down. I don't know.
Damn, I know it doesn't sound like a 4 out of 5 review to me from you.
But I really had a fun time watching it. I was entertained throughout. I was interested. I didn't see the twist coming at the end. But again, like I thought, Catherine said early on, she was like, a lot of this shit is very convenient for the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of conveniences just working out because movie.
Yeah. I think... Yeah, like I thought that was a very bad place to end the movie when it's always been advertised as like the three of them teaming up to do something. Why not like move that plot twist up and then show what they were going to do like at the very end as like the big finale? I would have liked that a lot. I feel like that would have helped it a lot and would have helped make it not terrible, because it wouldn't have been as much The Rock putting in 0.1% emotion and Ryan Reynolds doing way too much all over
the song.
You guys want to play a quick game of guess that net worth?
It's about drive. It's about power.
For the three stars of this movie.
Oh yeah. Yep. I've got the three of them, their net worth popped up here.
Guess that net worth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
Tanner, where are you at on Ryan Reynolds' net worth?
Damn, I don't know. More than 100 million.
It's a lot less than I thought.
So 50 million.
No, that's too low.
200 million. That's it. Final answer.
All right, Matt, what do you think Ryan Reynolds is at?
112 million.
Damn. That's a great answer, because it is 150 million.
Oh, wow. I think that's too high. I was going to say like $30 million. I mean, I guess he's been in a lot of big stuff. That's disrespectful.
He's a lot more, yeah.
Who are you doing next?
Gal Gadot.
$50 million.
$15 million, I'm saying.
Okay. Right in the middle, $30 million.
Okay. Okay, so then The Rock, I'm going to say $250 million.
Okay, Tanner.
$300, I'm bumping up.
Okay. The net worth of The Rock is $400 million. Think about it. This guy is in all of these franchises. He's got his tequila. He's got his production company.
Yeah, if you have a production company that...
Can I get a song?
Shouts to my friend Joe. He says, damn, The Rock out here spitting protein bars.
Oh, I like that. That shit's good.
Yeah.
And then not even that, like he was also in the WWE for however long.
Right. Yeah.
This article says what The Rock likes to spend his money on.
Probably alarm clock so he can get up at 3 a.m. to get 2 workouts and 1 shower in before the rest of the world gets going.
Because it's about drive and power.
Ha!
He's hungry. He devours.
I love your commitment to this bit, Tanner.
I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to stop. He puts in the work, too.
About 100 of that million he was paid in 2020. About 100 of that 400 million he was paid in 2020 alone.
I guess there was a Fast and Furious... Mm-hmm.
Jumanji 2, right?
Jumanji.
Or was that
Jungle Cruise 2,
yeah.
Jungle Cruise.
That was a great movie.
I really liked Jungle Cruise. It's on Disney Plus now for free.
Cool. Can I do the metaphor about this movie that like was sort of like my experience watching it?
Yes.
Go for it.
So like this movie felt like, so it's got like big stars and stuff. So it felt like, you know, you go to the butcher shop. You like spend like you're just like looking in the shelf. You're just like looking at, you're asking the butcher. It's like, yo, what was this one fed? Like, what's this one got to it? And it's like, finally, you pick out like the perfect one, the perfect steak you're going to cook. So you like take it home. You put it, you know, you get it on the wire rack. You get it all salted up. You get it, you know, sitting in there. You get it aging. And meanwhile, you're like mixing up your perfect like spice blend. Like you're, you know, trying a bunch of shit. You've like grown the garlic yourself. You're like grinding that up just to make it like nice and little. You got like your peppercorns. You got that going. You take the steak out of the fridge so it can come to room temp before you cook it. You just like get everything all ready. And then it comes time to cook it. You bust out your fucking George Foreman grill and throw it on there.
I saw that coming.
That is this movie.
Very well said, Matt. Guys, Red Notice is available on Netflix now. Catch it if you want. Don't catch it if you don't want.
That's a good way to say it.
Thank you, Tanner. In regards to what we've got coming,
we're putting in the work and the hours, and we're
taking we've got what
we devour.
Tanner, you're the worst person ever.
I'm aware.
In regards to what's coming, what's wedding? We've got coming this week on Wednesday, we get season 2 of Tiger King. Coming this weekend, we get Ghostbusters Afterlife. We've got and that's in theaters only. Tiger King season 2 is on Netflix only, obviously. Mm-hmm. Then we get King Richard, the movie starring Will Smith about Serena Williams, where he plays her father.
Oh, yeah.
That is available on HBO Max and in theaters. And then there's Tick, Tick, Boom, which we could save for another slower weekend, but that's on Netflix, and that's a musical starring Andrew Garfield on Netflix. And it is apparently very, very good. I'm hearing a lot of chatter about it on the interwebs, and so that's the only reason I've added it. Otherwise, that would have been one I probably glossed over. But
sure.
At least speaking in my end, I'll probably watch Ghostbusters for sure, and maybe I'll catch King Richard.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably catch me watching King Richard at home, not in the theater.
Yeah, for that one. Seems like a good home movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Tick, Tick, Boom, maybe we can save for another week. I know we got the holidays coming up, so maybe we'll have a slower week here in a couple weeks.
Facts.
But we got some fun stuff coming the rest of the year, man. We still got Hawkeye comes out on Thanksgiving Day, or the day before Thanksgiving. Comes out the 25th. Whatever day Thanksgiving is, 25th or 26th.
It's a Thursday.
25th.
25th. Okay, so that's the first episode of Hawkeye then.
Thankful for that.
that same weekend, the new Disney movie Encanto comes out, as cool. well as House of Gucci.
Oh.
Directed by Ridley Scott.
Dude,
Name of the Father, the Son,
and imagine you're Gucci. Like driving to go see House of Gucci and you're just bumping Gucci the whole time.
Dude, you got to think that's what I'm going to do. It's the only way to pregame.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go, guys. That's Binge Boys 249. And keep an eye out for the Binge Boys stuff next week. I'm going to talk some specifics about what's to come. And if you've watched us on YouTube today, you've seen that our backdrop is a little different. More on that next week.
Yeah,
we're changing the game.
Changing the game.
Name. Sorry.
Is this more face-off lyrics?
What?
More face-off lyrics?
That's it. I'm done now.
We're done, Tanner. Goodbye, everybody.
Just a crazy defamation.
Like Simone in my veins. Culture banging with strings.
Ha ha.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.